Everyone's smiling. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about a smile of radiance that comes from the Chaim HaPnimiyim, from inside, that the rays sparkle from inside and break through in your eyes, in your talk, in your the way your mouth, the way your lips are pursed, all the way through until it affects the entire world. Oil, oilam. This is radical stuff. This is truly radical stuff. Now, let's take go to the next page. Perek Yud Zayin of his Oros HaTshuva. I took the whole perek. This happens to be translated in English. The title that he gave to the chapter was Hizgalus HaGedola Shel HaTshuva, this great manifestation of tshuva b'chayi Yisrael in the life of Bnei Yisrael, u'bitchiyaso be'atzenu, and in its reliving itself, or renaissance, rebirth, be'atzenu, in our land. Aleph, tchiyas ha'uma, the rebirth of our nation, hi hayesod shel binyan hatshuva hagedola, is the cornerstone of the greater aspect of tshuva. Now, by this he means that tshuva is not only a personal thing, and we have to discuss this in months to come. What does he hold as far as what is tshuva? There are three kinds of tshuva, and of these three kinds, there are two dimensions. So you're talking about six different levels of tshuva that we have to discuss. But he says clearly, the rebirth of our nation, which we are living through in this generation, is the yesod. You know what yesod means? It's the cornerstone. Did you ever build a building in your life? You have to start with the foundation. That is it. If your foundation is good, the rest of the building is all right. If your foundation is no good, then the rest of the building is going to fall. Tchiyas ha'uma is the foundation of hatshuva hagedola, of the massive tshuva for everyone. Tshuvas Yisrael ha'elyona, which means the return of Yisrael ha'elyona to the highest of heights, the way it used to be, Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. And when that happens, automatically, Tshuvas HaOlam Kulo Shetavo Achareha. Copying, imitating what the Jew does, will create a movement of tshuva for the rest of the world. Now he says nothing original here, but he lays it out in very specific terms. Tchiyas ha'uma. Those are words that Bialik used, Haskalah people used, and they wanted to use it to run away from Torah. And he didn't let them, because it was only a foolhardy idiot who would run away and abandon the essence of this whole renaissance of coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he challenged so many.
He says, Shetavei Achareha, that will allow the others to return. And he's talking about the Goyim.
Yes, Tshuvas Olam will come after Tshuvas Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so what he sets up is a timetable of how this world is going to get out of its mess. You know what that means? Bias HaMashiach. Number one, individual elements of tshuva. Number two, these individual pockets of tshuva will bring to a general, will motivate a quickening of tchiyas ha'uma, all of us as a group. And after all, we function individually, but we also function as a group. Every human being functions on two levels. Okay? And from there, the tchiyas ha'uma, the nation returning in tshuva, then we will come back and be able to go ahead and effect a tshuva klolis of the entire world, which will be the third step. That is Yimos HaMashiach. Okay? Now, there's nothing revolutionary over here. I can show you this identical thing in the Rambam. No ways about it. Elama, but the way he said it with those first two words, Tchias Ha'uma, he was speaking not to 12th century Europe or 13th century Europe, but he was speaking to 20th century America, Europe, Jewry. Okay? Because those words, Tchiat Ha'uma, were used by Echad Ha'am, were used by Bialik, by Smolensky, all of these people. The nation has got to get up and start to live again. He says, you're right. Now I'm going to tell you how to live. That's it. Now, go to line 45. All the way to the left. Okay? He does some incredibly mind-boggling things. Once we use the words Tchias Ha'uma, which I'm telling you is the way the Zionists spoke, he cautions you, Rikshe HaTshuva B'chol Dor Yifasam, B'chol Hod Yifasam, the emotions that people have when this tshuva grips you, B'chol Hod Yifasam, with all of its power, B'chol Dichduchei Nafsham HaYoser Amukim, with all of its ability to go to line 45, all the way to the left. Okay? He does some incredibly mind-boggling things. Once we use the words Tchias Ha'uma, which I'm telling you is the way the Zionists spoke, he cautions you, Rikshe HaTshuva B'chol Dor Yifasam, B'chol Hod Yifasam, the emotions that people have when this tshuva grips you, B'chol Hod Yifasam, with all of its power, B'chol Dichduchei Nafsham HaYoser Amukim, with all of its ability to get down to the essence, to the deepest parts of our neshama, Muchrachim Dehigalos B'sifrus, must create a literature, Leman yilmad dor hatchiya es hatshuva ba'omek hanefesh, so that from this literature, from poems, from essays, from things to be able to read in Jewish presses and elsewhere, in pocketbooks, in art scrolls, in whatever, leman yilmad dor hatchiya, so that the dor, the generation of tchiya, of rebirth, will be able to learn es ha-tshuva, the tshuva that exists be'omek ha-nefesh, in the deepest recesses of the soul. You need love novels. You need love poems to be, and he wrote them, you should know. It needs a literature. You cannot say that we'll open up a Gemara, or we'll open up a Shulchan Aruch and a Rambam, and we'll learn. He says that's not enough. It needs a literature of its own style, of its own, you know, of its own scale. Bitchuna chaya. I'll wait. Now, you can make a mistake and think that I am saying that Rav Kook is knocking the sources, and I never said that. But what he needs is, he says right over there, bitchuna, it's got to be in a style, chaya, that lives, vera'anana, it's fresh to this generation, so that what is accomplished, v'shov v'rofalo, so that it could have the healing effects that are necessary. Now, Torah she'bal peh implies that every generation is going to take the eternal Torah and cast it in a new melody, so that v'shov, it'll be able to draw us v'rofalo, and we'll be able to be healed by it. You see, this happens, interestingly enough, to be the brilliance of today's Lubavitcher Rebbe. If there's one ancient writer, you'll pardon my expression, who talks to today's generation and to the dilemma that people have today, you know who it is? It's the Rambam. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe realized this, because we are living through a situation almost identical to that door of the Rambam. That's why it's taken off. This learning of the Rambam in either 3 years or 1 year has taken off like wildfire. This is what Rav Kook is saying. If I were to give you a book that was written 200 years ago to be mashpia, to influence people to Yiddishkeit, and give that to you as the first reader, as your introduction to Yiddishkeit, do you know what you would do? You'd take the book and throw it out, and it'd be your last experience with Yiddishkeit. So you take whom? You take a person like Hermann Woke, who is a Pulitzer Prize novelist, and he pours his heart out in a book called This Is My God. Chidushim he writes? No, not at all. But what is there? In his words, it's Tchuna Chaya V'Ra'anana. The way he wrote and the English that he wrote was Chaya, was living, V'Ra'anana was fresh. The same thing, L'Havdul Ben Achayim Achayim was Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch ultimately didn't say very many Chidushim, but when he was able to write a German in the style not of the Hungarian yeshivas or the Litvish yeshivas that was knocked up and like hackfleisch, like chopped meat, but it was a pure piece of beautiful literature. Do you know that more than anything else relived a generation? Aside from what he said it, how he said it, the freshness in which a human being called a rabbi, and he's got a beard with tzitzis out also, and he's not a reformer, he's an old timer who learned in Hungary. The way he said it, the command of the language, that's what you need. You need a sifrut. You need a literature that's going to relive for us this concept of tshuva. The kom yokum lanu misharera tshuva. He says, I predict that yet will arise the poet of tshuva, shehu yihyeh misharera chayim. He is going to be the poet for all of life. Misharera tchia. He is going to be the poet to show us this rebirth of our nation. Why? We misharera? Because he is going to sing the song and be the poet of what? Of the neshama haleumis, of the national spirit haholeches lihigael, that is marching on to redemption. It's electric. It's 440, 480 volts. Oy, if anyone could have been there when this idea struck him. How many lines you have there? 4 1/3 lines, that's all. And that's it, finished. He's finished with that idea. Because his Oros HaTshuva also, he wrote in the same style as Al-Pavei Tohar. Wasn't interested in massive ideas. In 4 or 5 lines, the man created a revolution. And the way he thought that moment, he had to write down in his book, and that was it. Now, let's go further. If we were to take this, just one last comment on this, and this that we just learned. Can you imagine, as chassidim of Rav Kook, let's assume that all of us, or all of Rav Kook's talmidim and chassidim, lived in Yerushalayim. And Teddy Kollek is about to sign the deed with the Mormons, with the Brigham Young University. Okay? Would we march on his office, on Kollek's office, to throw stones? Or would we all be there at a Mesibas Rosh Chodesh singing and dancing, and not letting him out of our sight for 1 minute until the song breaks the Orlas Levavchem, this hard, thick, stupid, idiotic shell around his heart, and we were able to get into the pnimius haruchnius, into the essence of what a Jew is, even a dodo, even a dummy like this Teddy Kollek. You hear? Would Rav Kook not, and together with all of his henchmen at the time, sit there and not let him out of the room until he gets up and he himself realizes the stupidity of it, because of the smiles, because of the yelling, oh yes, the yelling, the screaming, but the sincerity of what is going on here, until the oyer, the light that is being blocked out by the Arofel, by this darkness of this stupid way of thinking, would finally break through and hit him between the eyes and zap him right in the heart, where he'll get up and ask for mechila for not having been able to see the Oyer HaTshuva before. See, the whole agenda changes with this particular philosophical approach. You don't throw stones anymore. You don't yell Shabbos, Shabbos. You stand there, and when he rolls down the window where he's driving the car on Shabbos, you give him not one hand but two hands, and you ask him to come out, and you ask him if he would sit down and picnic with you, and you eat a portable shalashudis somewheres, and you sing Zmiris, Mizma LeDavid, and then a couple of other songs till it's time for Ma'ariv, and you ask him please to join in Baruch Hu. And you know what you've accomplished? He didn't drive the rest of Shabbos. You stopped him dead in his tracks. The difference. There's a whole different agenda over here. This pa'ar, this Grand Canyon and split between the datiyim and the chiloniyim, those who are religious and those who pride in calling them themselves anti-religious, has been created because we can't walk around with a little smile that the more, that this light that he is talking about is what's illuminating us. It doesn't go. It's the fist. It's the fist, the one who can strike hardest.
And isn't this something, it's such a paradox, what we spoke about in the last year, where you mentioned with the Neturi Kartas, how after 2,000 years of being pushed around, et cetera, now it's not a religious issue with them, it's a psychological issue that they don't want to go to Tzahal, they don't want to do this. And yet, when it comes to an issue like Shabbos, they can, all of a sudden they become fighters and they become aggressive types.
Remember, you said it, I didn't. Okay, but here, is this not one of the proof texts?
It's like a dichotomy.
Okay. When it comes to a Milchemes Mitzvah for Goyim, they have difficulty. Yeah. But against Jews,
it's such a contradiction.
Elama, it's a contradiction, but I want to tell you clearly. Remember that whenever anyone feels strongly about any issue, and I don't care who you are, whether you are secularist or so-called religious or anti-religious, or I don't care what you are, whenever you feel strongly and you forget a balance, you are a sitting duck to always go overboard. I don't care who you are. You always need a balance. And if you don't know how to strike that balance, you have to have someone who is smarter than you. You have to ask an Eitzah, you have to ask advice. Okay? Because we all get wrapped up with our own philosophies and our own selves. We cannot see if we are deviating. You know, when you navigate through life, you need that outside lighthouse or that star far away to be able to see if you're on a right course. And without that outside to guide you, then you don't know which way you're going. So it's a psychological norm for everyone. I'm not ready to let you swipe the Neturei Karta and just get away with it. It is because it is not a political problem of the Neturei Karta. It's a psychological problem. And you and I have the same psychological problems also. No two ways about it. This, which, you know, this is a kind of universal thing, which we'll have to talk about. when I put together pieces of his psychological insights, not only from Oros HaTshuva but elsewhere, then we will come back to this again. Go ahead,
Mitchell. That you're saying about him, about the gap between the religious and the non-religious in Israel. One of the things I think the reason why Rav Kook could, like, you know, that if someone were a real chassid of Rav Kook, that, you know, they could sort of bridge the gap, because I think he was able to see the value in and of itself of what the non, you know, what people who considered themselves non-religious and religious people considered themselves, who considered them non-religious, what these, you know, the people were doing themselves. I mean, this. Now, this is one of the things I heard about the Geshem movement in Israel, that not only does it get people to talk, but also that it, like, tries to create a feeling not only of the so-called non-religious, for the so-called religious people, but also for the religious people, for the so-called religious people to see the values that the non-religious people,
okay,
so-called non-religious people have.
May I restate what you just said in the way he says it? On the same page that we're at, line 20. See if we're saying the same thing. Line 20. The second word. Hisarurus, cheftza shel ha'uma bichlala. This stirring of the desire, the chefetz, the desire of the entire nation, lashuv el arza, to return to what? To Israel, to its land, means what? Is a return el mahusa, to its essence. A return to its essence. El Rucha, a return to its spirit. The El Techunasa, to return to its nature, its very nature. This desire that we all have, Be'emes, in truth, you know what you call that desire? Or Shel Tshuva Yeshba. There is a light of Tshuva within it that has been seen by anyone and everyone. Be'emes. In fact, hadavar mitbatei beveirur gamur bevitiya shel Torah. And this is what a pasuk in Torah meant when we said in the Tochacha, v'shafta ad Hashem elekecha, you return unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This entire national stirring is the tshuva to Hashem. Ki sashuv el Hashem elekecha. Hatshuva hi tshuva pnimis. This is an internal process. We are being driven to do it internally. Ella, but I must admit, shehi mechusa b'harbei mesachim chotzitzim. This internal drive is covered, mechusa b'harbei mesachim chotzitzim, by many veils that separate us, the internal us, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? But, ein koach b'shum ikuv u'miniyas ha'shama. There is no way in the world, there is no power in the world to stop this ultimate process, la'akev es ha'or ha'elyon, to stop the divine light, mehofia aleinu, from hitting us. Now that divine light that hits us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to us to do what? There's no kibbutz in the world, no matter how much treif they're going to serve, that can resist or insulate itself from the ultimate power of tshuva, from this Or Elyon. Now go to the next part. Gimel. It should be line 28. Gam mitoch hachol. Also from amongst what we call the secular. Chol as opposed to Kodesh. Yigale HaKodesh. You will see revealed what? You will see revealed Kodesh, the holiness. V'gam mitoch HaChofesh HaParutz. And also from this Chofesh, from this freedom, this desire for freedom that is parutz, that is without boundaries, we want to be free of everything. Yavo ha'ol ha'ahuv, will come responsibility of love. Avoso zahav yistargu, chains of gold will be woven,
and spread out, v'ya'aluga mitoch hashira achofshanis, and will suddenly emerge from the songs of what? Of chofshanius. What does chofshanius mean? Total freedom. You know what that means. Li'yosam chofshi bi'atzenu. I want to be totally free of all the garbage that came before. I am happy to say to you that I sing Hatikva, but I change one word in it. I don't sing Lihi Osam Chofshi, because when I see how he uses the word, and how secular Zionists, right? Secular Zionists sing that word Chofshi, you have to smack your mouth. I sing Lihi Osam Sgula Be'artzeinu. You know what am Sgula means? A treasure. So that we return to Eretz Yisrael, so that we be the Am Sgula, the treasured people. I picked up that change, although it's not original with me.
You don't like Chofshi as saying free?
No, free man? No, because of the context of the word today. You see, you only know the first paragraph of the Hatikva. Do you know how many stanzas there are? There are 8 stanzas. Do you know what the 7th stanza begs for? Right? This Zionist who was a drunk, who was an alcoholic, Naftali Tzvi Imba, who went to India and married a Goya. And that was the only way he was able to survive. Okay? And in order to be married to this Goya, he kind of put on an air of conversion. Okay? The 7th paragraph. Right? Kol Od. As long as our eyes point to a mountain on which the bias stood, and our heart sheds a tear to see that only one wall stands, and we hope that we will return, od lo avda tikvasenu, then there is still hope. Yeah? Okay, I'm not making out of him a Yehuda HaLevi, right? Or Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, I'm not. You hear? But you hear what this Goy, this secular Zionist, pooh! Do you hear what he asks in his seventh stanza? Okay? He didn't mean Chofshi the way Zionism today means Chofshi. Free of all restraints. That any time anything from Golos is shown, it cannot be valued for anything. He never meant that. Golos has a lot to contribute to Eretz Yisrael. A lot. He never meant that. And that's why, because of the context of the word today, the way it is interpreted, we want to be free of everything to be able to do our own thing. You're not free of everything. The only free man is one who has accepted the bounds of Torah. Okay? When you are free of everything, so you're like an amoeba, a paramecium. You're without form, you're without shape, you're without restraints, you see?
The second one, okay.
Okay? That's it?
Yeah, they call the
second one. Ani Chofshi? That's it? Chofshi? That's it? Chofshi? That's it? So, with Dati or Haredi or Chofshi? That's not what the Hatikva says. It says Lihios Am Segula, that the essence, that what we really were put forth in this world for, will shine. That's what the word Segula means. Segula means a treasure gem, a diamond. Lihios Am Segula, and that is what was told to us at Matan Torah. And here is, you know, Gam. It's that this golden concept of Kodesh will come v'ya'alu gam mitoch hashira hachafshanis, from the songs of these what? Of this total secularism and freedom. There's going to be gold that you'll be able to redeem from it. U'teshuva mazhira, and a brilliant concept of tshuva, line 30, teitzei is going to emerge gam mitoch hasifrus hachitzonis. Now you know what Svarim Chitzonim means? You know what Svarim Chitzonim means? In the times of the Tannaim, the Svarim that were written by Judeo-Christians and other sects were called Svarim Chitzonim, external. They are not Sifrei Kodesh. You're not supposed to, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not supposed to read them. The New Testament derived from them. Okay? from this sifrus chitzonis, from this illegal literature. Why is it illegal? Because it is full of what? It's full of chol. From here there will grow tshuva. That's where you will find it. And boy, if you were around during the Six-Day War, did you see it? Yeah. We're still working on the tshuva of 1967. That's where every chiloni started to think once again. Go back to 1967, start reading the letters, and you'll see what chol and kodesh means, how it set off a whole thing. And he says, this emergence of kedusha out of chol, of gold from garbage, this will be the supreme pella. You know what pella means? Wonderment. Mm-hmm. Surprise. Shall chazon ha-ge'ula. In this prophetic faith, this vision that we are going to be redeemed. Yigamel zehatzitz, the bud that is in every single Jew who calls himself a secularist, yigamel will be nurtured. Yifrach haperach, every little flower that hasn't bud yet will suddenly start to bloom. Yivushal hapri, every fruit will be ripened. V'yeda ha'olam kulo, the world entirely will know ki ruach hakodesh medaber b'knesses Yisrael. In the Knesset in Israel, you know what you'll be talking? You'll be talking with the Ruach HaKodesh. When Jews get together in a Knesset, in a conglomeration in Eretz Yisrael, we'll talk Ruach HaKodesh, we'll talk like prophets. Bechol tenuos rucho, in all the dimensions of this Ruach. Vesof HaKol, the end of all, will be Hulitshuva. It will be tshuva ha-mevi'a refua, which will come to heal this nonsense, this insanity, this neuroses that Jews don't want to admit to the fact that we are Jews because of Atta b'chaltonu, and this will bring geula la'olam, it will bring redemption to the entire world. Now this man doesn't mince words. You understand what I'm saying? So you have a choice of not attending and never reading another thing that he said, or you have a choice of taking this and having it translated by someone else, an independent translator, to see if I tried to pull the wool over your eyes. Or the third choice is that maybe we have to start opening up our ears to listen to a different symphony. Because without it, we don't have the symphony of Torah. Without it, we don't understand what happened at Har Sinai. And without it, we won't understand what there is to do in Eretz Yisrael for us, each and every one of us, for our children, for our children's children, and for our neighbors' children and children's children. Let me conclude tonight by showing you that the basis for all of this is not Rav Kook. You cannot reject. You're entitled to reject Rav Kook. Go right ahead. But then you'll have to contend with the Rambam. And let me show you. Open up in Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam for just two short lines to Perek. It's page Chov Zayin in this pamphlet. It's Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, the bottom of the page.
Chov
Zayin Halacha Hey. Yeah. So it's Perek Zayin Halacha Hey. Got it? At the bottom of the page? Kol ha-nevi'im kulam. Every Navi. Tzivu ala tshuva. You know what tzav means? Commanded Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. Ve'ein Yisrael nig'olin ela b'tshuva. And the whole key to ge'ula, to redemption, is only in the process of tshuva. U'kvar hivticha Torah. The Torah promised already Shesoif Yisrael, that in the end of time, all of Bnei Yisrael will what? Las is tshuva, will do tshuva. Besoif Golusom, when they decide to end the Golus, Umiyad, immediately, Heim Nigolim, the Geula will follow thereafter. Shenemar, here is the quote of the promise. Behoyo, it shall come in the Tochacha, Ki yavo alecha kol advarim, after we get the hell knocked out of us, all the hell that was spoken of in the Tochacha, in Parshas Kisavo, v'shavta ad Hashem elekecha, you will return, I promise you, you will return up to and until HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, v'shav Hashem elekecha eshivuscha, God will return your Shevi, your Shavus, all of your captives, v'richamecha, and show you supreme rachamim. How? V'shov, he will return to you, v'kibetzcho mikol ha'amim asher efitzcho Hashem elekecha shomo. He will gather you in among all the nations, asher hefitzcho, to which you were scattered by Hashem elekecha therein. That is the haftoch of tshuva. It's got to be. If we are ready to write off any secularist or any other Jew by any other name, any other color, the biggest dummy and the biggest anti-Semit, and you don't begin to understand the Tochacha of Kvar Hivticha Torah, that Torah promised that this is the way it's going to be. Now, what is one of the first manifestations of tshuva? What is intrinsically bound up in the psukim, in these three psukim that the Rambam quotes? That what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do? Kibbutz Golios. He's going to take you from Yemen, and he's going to take you from America, and he's going to take you from Canada, and from Cuba, and from Argentina. Veshov veKibetzcha, and there's going to be a return to Eretz Yisrael, mikol ha'amim, from all the nations where we were scattered. That's the Haftoch of Torah. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Habo Aleinu L'Tova is Rosh Hashanah. We will have to decide what we do with that, since it is so incredibly busy, that Rosh Chodesh. We'll either have to have a few days before or a few days after, depending on our schedule, but we'll... would certainly be appropriate, at which time I will try, but I won't promise. I will try to once again show you that it's only the style that I want to show, that I want to point to you. But what he says is just sitting right in front of you. You don't like Rav Kook? Start up with the Rambam. I dare you. I dare you. You think I am translating and I'm learning for you the Rambam in a crooked and a distorted way? Go ask the experts and see if it's not the same. Well, it's time already that we say L'shana Tovah Tikaseinu.